Well, good morning, you guys. You know, I've had many, many jobs during my lifetime. Some of them were not so good, but some of them were really good. I've had some really good jobs. But the greatest job I've ever had, the best job in the world, was when I raised my two boys. It was a job of a father. So I just want to say to you fathers, happy Father's Day today. The job before you is big, hard, tough at times, but great. It reaps good rewards over the years. So happy Father's Day. Mark, you guys. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to continue in Matthew. And so turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to begin in verse 1. Let me read it. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. One more time. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. I think this is probably one of the most misunderstood portions of Scripture. How many times have you been talking with people and they'll say something like this? Wait, you're judging me. The Bible says not to judge. And that's what you're doing. I've had that happen to me many times. And this restriction of not judging does not mean that a Christian never judges. We do. We have to. As a matter of fact, if we're going to obey verse 6, which I'm going to get to shortly, you're going to make a judgment. So what does it mean? So many people seem to think that Jesus commanded a universal acceptance of any lifestyle or any teaching, and that's not true. We must judge these things. Here's the point. This is what this verse means. Very simple. The point of this verse is that a Christian should not have a judgmental spirit, should not have a critical spirit, should not be a complainer. That's what it means. Don't be living your life in walking in judgment and criticizing. And I have fought that many times over the years. I have fallen into a more of a critical spirit it's not good. It zaps you. Oswald Chambers says this about that. It's impossible to enter into communion with God when you are in a critical temper. And it leaves you with the flattering unction that you are a superior person. We, as the church, we must make judgments, but without a critical spirit. We must make these judgments without a judgmental spirit. The New Testament has many illustrations. Let me give you some of them of where we judge the condition, the conduct, and the teaching of various people that we come into contact with. One is when there are disputes among us in the church, where should it be settled? The judgment should take place right here and settled right here, not out there, not in the world. Two, the local church has the responsibility among the leadership of the church to judge serious sins among the church and to help those folks that are struggling, according to Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Three, always believers are to judge the doctrinal teaching of the teacher or the preacher. So everything that Mark says, everything that I say, you guys should be judging what you hear. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let the prophets speak. One, two, or a most three. And they come up and they speak. And let the others do what? Judge. What are they judging? To see if what they say is true. To see if it lines up with Scripture. To see if it's violating scriptural truth. And that's what you do with me. See if I'm anywhere skipping out or leaving scriptural truth, the arena. That's your job. Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, brethren, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. Why? Why are we testing and judging? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So if you run into somebody, you've got to test what they're saying. You got to test it. That's our job. We must make those types of judgments, though without a critical spirit, without criticizing and that kind of thing. Four, we among the church must make judgments in areas of leadership for teachers, for elders, for deacons. We judge the individual's life and their works and so forth and what they believe. That's pretty critical. Also, how about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14? We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Okay, so that's a judgment call you have to make. Who's unruly? If somebody in the church is unruly, you're supposed to come along and admonish him. Not in a spirit of, you know, criticism, complaining, that kind of thing. But that's a positive word. You're trying to lift this person up. Let me continue. Admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. That's a judgment call. Who's faint-hearted? Somebody needs courage. You go inspire courage in their life. They need to be encouraged. Then it says, help the weak. Help the weak. Well, that's a judgment call too. We are to help those that are weak in their faith, whatever it might be. They're struggling out there in the world situation. Come alongside of them and help them. Be patient with everyone. I like that verse. So verse 2 says, in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. I don't want to have a critical spirit. I don't want that. A negative, you know, complaining spirit, because I don't want people to have that same spirit towards me. That verse might mean that. Or I don't want God to have that kind of judgment against me. If I'm laying out judgment, I don't want God's judgment to be like that against me. So that's what that passage is saying right there. Now he gives an example in verses 3 to 5 of someone that has a critical spirit, that someone has this the spirit of complaining and so forth. He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your eye? I find it interesting here that those that have a log in their eye, they can't see it. But they can see the speck in somebody else's eye. That seems to be the case, huh? I've seen that over and over again. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. How is it? Here's a question. How do you take the log out of your eye? If you have this type of a spirit, you're a critical spirit, you're always judging people, you know, you're just, how do you get that? What do you do with that? Well, first of all, you see the log, you see it, and then you go to God, and you renounce it. Lord, I renounce this criticism and this spirit that I'm walking in. I renounce it. Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you forgive me? And what happens when you confess your sins? He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins, and this is my favorite part, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I like that cleansing. That's what you do. Get out of that judgmental spirit. And it might be a really good time to check and see where you are personally. Where are you? Well, that's my question. Where are you right now? And by the way, in today's culture, what's going on out there in the world, it's easy to fall into this judgmental spirit, especially in the area of politics and what's going on, the riots around the nation and the world and so forth. It is easy to fall into this, especially if you're on social media. This is not our realm. This is not our realm. Don't go there. And if you're there, get out of it. Don't even listen to it. It's all over the place. So I caution my brothers and sisters here to stay out of this whole arena. Now I want to spend most of my time on verse 6. Let's read it. Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before swine or pigs, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs and swine, or they will trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. So in the Mosaic law, dogs and pigs were unclean. Now in the first century, dogs, it's not the dogs that we have in our house. It's not little, we have a little pet, Mia. That's not what he's talking about here. This is more like a pack of dogs. This is more like a wolf pack. These dogs are vicious. And they travel in packs often, and they're dangerous. Same with pigs. This isn't the pig that my grandson is raising right now to take to the fair and sell at the fair. This is more like the wild pig, the boar. Have you been pig hunting? You got to be careful because they can get you. That's what he's talking about here. If you throw pearls to pigs or these dogs, they're just going to trample them. They mean nothing. But they will look at you and they'll go after you. So, what is holy? Don't give what is holy to dogs or pearls to swine. What are the pearls? And what is it that's holy? I think it's a very simple answer. Jesus. Jesus. And Jesus, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is what this means. Don't throw your pearls, don't throw Jesus, don't throw the gospel to people that are just going to trample it underfoot and so forth. You're not obligated to continue to share with those types of people. And I run into those types of people. Mostly people will receive the pearls. They won't trample them and then come after me, most of them. But there have been times. Tennessee, the legislature in Tennessee, there was a man, I'm going to call his name John, but he was an alcoholic, he was a drunkard, and he was in the legislature. And everybody knew John. But what happened? John got saved. And God did some really cool stuff in his life. Started cleaning him up a little bit. And so everybody knew that they said that John got religion. And that's what they said about me when I became a Christian at age 24. Because I was like normal people out there that aren't saved. But they said, Dave got religion. No, Dave did not get religion. Dave got relationship with Jesus. And John got relationship with Jesus. And so they were meeting in the Tennessee legislature. And they sat down. And everybody was scoping out John over here. And the chairman took his seat before the group. And one of the members rose up. I make a motion that we hear a sermon from Deacon John. And everybody laughed. Big belly. They just cracked up laughing. The whole group of them cracked up. True story. Well, John was equal to this task. He stood on his feet. And he said, I'm sorry, but I don't have anything to say to you. My Lord told me not to cast my pearls before swine. They shut up, and it was the last time they ridiculed him. Good example right there. There's another example that fits to the T for me. Years ago, I was working as a termite inspector, and I went to a house and looked at this lady's termites. She had termites. Before I left, I gave her a gospel tract, a little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws. And I said, I'll probably be back in about 4 days. I gave her the price she wanted me to take care of them. And so I'll be back in 4 days. I have to give her a written report on it. And so I came back. And I said to her, maybe if you can read this, maybe we'll talk about it when I get back. And she took it, thankfully. Well, I got there, and I was getting set up to take care of her termites, and I just asked her, hey, did you get a chance to talk about, read that little booklet that I gave you? And this lady was about 90 years old, and she was about 5 foot tall. And I asked her that question, and she turned on me, and she looked up at me. She got real close to me, and she started, who do you think you are, you? And she started swearing and cussing and blankety blank, 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 blank. She was screaming at me, screaming. And I was backing up. So here it is, 5 foot, weighing in at 90 pounds. I'm 6'6", weighing in at 230. She's backing me up. I'm backing up. And she's right there screaming in my face. I'm thinking, wait a minute. She doesn't even know who I am. It's not that she doesn't like me. Who doesn't she like? Jesus. She didn't like Jesus. She didn't like the booklet that I gave her that talked about Jesus. It was a pearl. And I backed up, and I literally sat in a chair, and she stood right over the chair and kept going. And I was saying, Lord, don't give her a heart attack. She was so red in her face. And I just didn't think older ladies should, be that excited. And she was mad. Boy, was she mad. Well, then she stopped, and instantly a senior citizen van picked her up, and she was gone. And I just continued to do my work. But there was a housekeeper in the house, and she was in the kitchen cleaning, and I said to the housekeeper, I said, hey, did you hear that? Because that was unusual. I've never heard anything like that. Nobody's really hit me like that with such language and awful language and cursing and all that kind of stuff. And she, this lady, this housekeeper, younger lady, she came out, and she got right in front of me, and she started the same thing. She started just lambasting into me. You blankety blank blank, who do you think you are? And the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, people. But who do we wrestle against? Where's the real battle? The principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness, evil spirits, demons. And that's what was going on there. And this lady, she gets right in my face. But I didn't back up. I'm not giving ground this time. I'm listening to her. And then she says, and I know who you are, in a gruff voice. It was one of those demonic voices, that you hear every once in a while, you run into those. And she says, I know who you are. Well, I got a little excited. Wow, she knows who, because I knew what was going on. The demon knows who I am. Yes, yes. The demon knew who Paul was. The demons knew who Peter was. But they didn't know who the sons of Sceva was, right? They didn't, they beat him up. But they knew who I was. Man, that encouraged me. And I said, and I know who you are. And I'm looking at the lady, but I'm speaking to the demon. And I said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And she turned and phoom, went right out the front door, and now she was gone. I finished my job, but God just really blessed me greatly. I felt like I was literally walking on air. It was just, he blessed me just for, because the demonic realm, the people, they didn't like Jesus, and therefore I liked Jesus, and they didn't like me. That's the kind of people that you don't, I threw a pearl to her, the gospel to her, And that's her response. She trampled it under feet, and then she attacked me. Well, every once in a while, we'll run into that kind of a person, but I'd say 99.9% of the time, the people, they're not like that. They'll listen. This last week, I was looking at the TV at the protest. There was a protester, you know, out there. And on his sweatshirt, he had a, it was a garbage can, and somebody throwing a cross in the garbage can. That was the image on his sweatshirt. On his sign, it said, "If Jesus comes back again, we'll kill him a second time." That's, whoa. I mean, that's whoa. That would probably be a swine, what Jesus is referring to. They are antichrist, and they will trample the gospel under feet and then hit you and go for you. Okay? In those cases, you're not obligated to throw your pearls to them. But I just want you to know what I see in this passage, in number 6 here, verse 6, is that what I see is that we all have pearls. That's what I'm getting. You've got a bag of pearls, each one of you. Are the pearls for you? No, they're for other people. You throw them, you cast them. And the cool thing is, you can throw all those pearls and they'll never run out. They'll just keep multiplying in your bag. It's kind of like the fish and the bread when Jesus multiplied it. Well, the gospel will never run out. You just keep giving it. You know, for me personally, there's nothing more exciting for me than telling somebody about Jesus. I think that's one of the most exciting things. And it's hard, though, because there's always a battle. The devil's always telling me, no, don't do it. Or there's fear will rise up. Listen to Paul. This is what he did in Acts chapter 18, verse 5 and 6. And when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. He's throwing pearls to all his fellow Jews. Look at verse 6. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own hands, heads. I am clean. And from now on, I'm going to go to the Gentiles," which he did. So those were swine. And that was it. He wasn't going to toss his pearls to these blaspheming people again. So you have what is holy to give to people. You have pearls to give to people. That's what we are to be doing. I've been following Jesus for 46 years now. And all of those 46 years, we've always been looking for something. We've always been expecting something. We've been looking either for the second coming of Jesus in the 70s and 80s, or we've been looking for revival. Always. Always expect revival is coming. A great awakening is coming. In 47 years, it hasn't come yet. And listen, I'm one of the people that has been praying for revival. I'm asking God for the greatest revival and awakening to happen right here in Paso Robles, ever on planet Earth, ever. That's what I'm asking Him. And a lot of other pastors and people, we're all praying the same kind of things. No, I think no wonder that the devil was doing these last 3 or 4 weeks here in Paso Robles. We've seen some really strange things happening. Well, could it be that because we're praying and we're seeking? I think that's okay. But let me say this. Could it be that Jesus is also saying something to us at the same time? Could it be that He's saying, "Yes, Dave, you continue to pray for a revival and a great awakening. But Dave, I want to say something to you and to all of you. I have equipped each one of you with the gospel, with pearls. I've equipped you with the Holy Spirit, the power to throw the pearls and effectively, the power to do it. I've equipped you with this. Now go. Go! Could it be that Jesus is saying, yes, pray for the revival, which I've been doing for 47 years and have not seen it yet. But at the same time, Jesus is saying, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the very end of the world, I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. Go. Go. Could it be that Jesus is saying, yes, seek revival, but the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? Could it be that he's telling us that? Go. Could it be that he's saying, I have bound the devil, the strong man. I have bound him. I've tied his hands and his feet. I have rendered him powerless. I've destroyed his works. Now you go right through his gate, right through the front door, and plunder his house and take from him, steal from him his goods, which are lost men, women, and children. Go. Yeah, pray for a revival, but go. Could it be that Jesus is saying to us, my angels will be with you. They're ministering spirits sent forth. Go. Could it be that Jesus is saying to us, yes, Dave and church, pray for a revival. Keep praying. But everyone who believes in me, everyone, and anyone who believes in me, the deeds that I did and the works that I did, they will do also. John 14:12. And greater works than these will we do because I go to the Father. And when I go to the Father, I send back the power to do it. His name is the Holy Spirit. Go. You have the same Spirit that did the works when I was a human on earth. You have the same Spirit now within you. Go. Remember that song, cast your bread upon the waters, and soon it'll come back to you. It's an old song, gospel, it's way before 88. Forget it. I got the wrong group here. Cast your bread upon the waters. Cast your pearls upon the waters. That's what I'm trying to say. As you go, could Jesus be trying to tell us, as you go, heal the sick? You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have authority in you. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. If you happen to run into one, which you will, you go right through that wall, get out of our presence, and free people up. Set the captives free. And preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. You have power to preach the gospel. Go. 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 The miraculous is simply a sign. It's a road sign. Where does the road sign point to? Jesus. If the first century church needed the road signs, we need the road signs. He says to us, yes, pray for a revival, but here, I've given to every one of you a ministry. Every one of you. You all have a ministry. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. Go reconcile people to me. That's our ministry. Could it be that he's trying to say, yes, Dave, yes, church, pray for a revival, pray for a great awakening. But Dave, when the saints move out, the sinners will move in. When the saints move out, the sinners will move in. Why? Because we're throwing our pearls. They're not made to keep, even though they're really pretty and they're costly. They're not made for us to keep. So, could it be that the Lord is trying to say to us today, church, today is the day of salvation. Today. Now. Today. Okay. Now I'm going to close this thing, but I'm going to ask, how is it that we go, Dave? The scripture is pretty clear that we're supposed to go. Shelby, you guys are going to Papua New Guinea to reach a people that have never heard about Jesus. You're going to take a whole bunch of pearls with you, and they'll never run out. Okay, good. What does it mean for us to go? Okay, I think it's the simplest thing in the world, except for many, it's a mindset. And I have to change my mind every morning when I wake up. It's like picking up your cross and following Jesus anew every day. Even though, here it is. Even though, let's say every time you leave your house, you're heading into the mission field. You've heard me say that before, if you've listened to me at all in the past. Every time you leave your home, you're heading for the mission field. That's the mindset. If you take these kids to the park, you're going to the mission field. Yeah, you're going to the park and you're going to have fun and so forth, and you're going to do all the things that dads and moms do and protect. But you're at the mission field. What happens if God should bring you a divine appointment? You've got pearls with you. Don't leave them home. When you go to work, you're going to the mission field. God might bring a divine appointment to you. If God hits the ball to you, make the play. Catch the ball. Make the play. And if you don't have that mindset, you're going to go to work and you're just going to work. Or you're going to go to the park and you're just going to play. Or you're going to go to the store or the beach or Walmart and you're just going to go to the store. You're just going to live life. That's not who we are, right? That's not what it's all about. We're here to be witnesses. We're here to turn our world upside down. So that's it. It's getting up with the attitude. When Donna and I, by the way, I love going anywhere with Donna. It's a date. I call it a date. We had a fun date. We had several places we had to go yesterday. But really, I'm a baseball player. I'm in uniform. I'm clothed with God's righteousness. I have all the equipment that he's given to me, what Mark just said a while back. We've got equipment. I've got the glove. I'm on the field. Now I'm expecting the ball to be hit to me. Every time the pitcher pitches the ball's coming to me. I'm playing shortstop. It's coming. Here it comes. I'm expecting it. You can see where I'm going with this, right? And if it doesn't come, the ball's not hit to me. Oh, okay. Next one. Every single time. It's a mental approach that you have to have. Same thing in the kingdom. You got to have that mental approach. And there's nothing more fun. You're a missionary everywhere you go. Expect it. Ask God. God, open a door. It might be praying for somebody. It might be helping somebody. It might be leading somebody to Jesus. It might be praying for somebody. They might get healed out there. I was speaking to an unbeliever, and he had a bad back and a bad neck and couldn't work. Well, I have the Holy Spirit in me. And so I said, can I pray for you? Yeah, yeah. So I put my hand on his back. Can I do that? I asked him first. No, you never. Yeah, okay, yeah. Put my hand on his back, and I started praying, Lord, you know what this man needs. He needs to be healed. And this is a mountain. This guy wasn't working because of his bad back and neck. That's a mountain. I said to that mountain, I prayed, Lord, you said that if we had faith the size of a mustard seed, we could speak to the mountain to move, and it'll move. So I command this mountain in the name of Jesus to move. Move this bad back. Lord, we're asking for healing for his back. Would you do that? I speak healing, and I command healing in the name of Jesus. That's what I did. It was a command with the authority that I have. Just like when I take demons out, I got to command them to go. They won't go. If I ask Jesus to do it, I got to do it. Under his power. Okay? Well, he came back. I saw this guy 2 weeks later. And he says, my back is well. He was working again. It was really cool. Okay? That's out there. God is just waiting for us to stick our necks out. I mean, he gave you a neck. He gave you the neck to stick it out. John, Mark, you got one other song? Come on up. I want to end this sermon with a quote that was written to me by a friend of mine. Let me read it to you. God is challenging his ecclesia. What's ecclesia mean? Anybody? It means church, called out. Yeah, the called out. The church is called out, so it's the called out people of God, the church. God is challenging his ecclesia to rise up and walk in the authority and the anointing freely given to you when he sacrificed his only beloved son to die for your sins. It is time to be bold in our faith. Take the kingdom by force and become the pure, spotless bride of Christ. Every time you leave your home, you're in the mission field. When you go out these doors, you're now in the mission field. I would just say, be prepared for the ball to be hit to you out there. Okay? Make the play. Amen.